Let's turn in our Bibles to John 15. Even though it says verse 5, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. There's part of it I would like from another translation, but this is my Bible that's waterproof. And for the last 3 weeks, I've been hiking and going in places where if it's dewy and everything, I can be reading my Bible and not worry that I'm wrecking the pages. I do have a Bible that's all crinkled from mist and dew, and so I got a waterproof one that I can take everywhere I go. So, I am the true grapevine. What does it say in your Bible? I am the vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't bear or produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message, and I think some says you're already clean. I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you try to produce fruit being apart from Jesus? I think we do. We do all these good things, and sometimes I had someone saying, oh, I heard about what Indiana's going to be doing, this big thing, and I just looked and I said, I'm wondering if it's God's plans, though. Sometimes we go about things, and I'm wondering if it is God's plan. I had such a hard time to title anything that I say. My husband just marvels at how I can get up and not always know what I'm going to say because I'm depending on God. As I was hiking on the mountains, I kept thinking, what do you believe and who do you believe? Because what you believe affects everything in your life and who you believe. Because there's a book called The Lies You Tell Yourself. Well, if you tell yourself something, pretty soon you think it's truth. And how I was thinking in Sabbath school, they talked about Paul. He believed that these were heretics and they needed to be destroyed. I mean, that was truth to him. Until what? He met and heard Jesus, right? And when he heard Jesus, it changed what he once thought. And it changed his whole life. And so I'm thinking, in the last 6 months, God's been taking his shears and just clipping on Doug and I. But one of the things is, what do I believe? I believe God has a plan for each one of your lives. And he says right here in Desire of Ages 668, he has a use for you. No matter how old you are, your health condition, that's an excuse if you use that. Well, I'm old. Yeah, whatever. He says he has a use for you and he is well pleased when you make the very highest demands upon him, that we may glorify his name. We may expect large things if we have faith in his promises. So I was thinking, I'm one who likes to envision being in the scriptures. And in one of our travels, we stopped at a church in Ohio, and he says, take your Bible and just read the red print. Nothing else. Just read what Jesus said. So I said, that's a good idea. So I'm reading and Jesus says, come, follow me. And so I thought, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you and just see what it's like to follow you. And so as I followed him in the scriptures, how did Jesus treat people who were beaten from things in life? He was tender. He picks up the woman who's been caught in adultery and he's so tender with her. I see him walking up to a blind man and he says, what would you like me to do for you? And the blind man's like, I want to see. God knew he was blind. And I'm thinking there as I'm watching this happening in my mind, why did he ask that question? He's blind. And then it hit me, Darla, you're blind. You're more blind than he is. You can have eyes and not see a thing. You miss opportunities God puts right in your pathway and you don't see them because you're thinking of something else. You're so focused on this that you've passed by everything God has in store for you because you're blind. So then I start thinking, Lord, I want to see. Help me see what I've been missing in life. And then I was thinking, God says, ask anything, Darla. in my name and I'll give it to you. So after I've been walking in scripture with Jesus and I see and I says, you know what? Jesus is hungry to save souls, is he not? He left heaven because he says, I want to save. I want to save the lost. So I thought, okay, he says, ask anything according to his will and he'll hear me. Lord, can I bring a soul to you this year? Because that's according to your will. You want to save people. I'm a morning walker and I talk to God as I'm walking and pretty soon it just hits me. Is that a large thing to ask Jesus for one? I asked God to forgive me and I had tears as I'm walking. And I said, God, you said expect great things and I asked for one because I thought one would be great. I thought if everyone at church just had one, the church would be full. So then I said to God, I'm sorry. How about 100? And I just start thinking, well, come on, go big. And so I'm thinking, okay, 100. And after those prayers and praying, the Lord, you know who's hungering. You know who's thirsting. You know who we need to meet. So I get ready to do a class that the church asked me to do, a weight loss class. I've never done a weight loss class, but I figured if I can do health classes and everyone loses weight, I guess I can do a weight loss class. So we do a weight loss class and a health class at the same time, one at a Lutheran church and one at the Adventist church. And I never do anything without asking Jesus to send people. He knows. So I'm praying, Lord, months in advance, Lord, you know who, send the people. And you come, Lord. So when I see the doors open and these new people come in my mind, say they were sent by God. So I treat you different. Anyone that walks into a church, I look as they were sent by God. They're looking for love. They're looking for Jesus. And are they seeing Jesus in us? And so as I'm meeting these new people in my life, and there's this one tall man, Chuck. He doesn't mind me telling his story. Chuck's really rough, foul mouth. And I'm thinking, oh, wait, this dude isn't going to do anything I ask him to do. I said, okay, this is optional, but would you bring me your food diary for the week? I look at it and I just went, oh, fat, and you know, and you're a diabetic, and this is bad. And he started changing things. And he says, well, the little samples were great. And he says, I told my wife, he goes, Darla, let me tell you my story. My wife read this book by Dr. Furman, Eat to Live, and the food was so bad, I went and bought a refrigerator. And this is not a lie. And I stuck it in my bedroom and I said, this is my food, you eat your junk. And he said, I wouldn't eat anything. And she says, oh, honey, I found this vegan restaurant. You want to come? And he's like, if I don't like it, I'm going to throw it in your face. And he would. He's that personality. And I'm like, ah. So he goes there to this restaurant, and here's a brochure I had put in that restaurant. And he looks in, he goes, hey, honey, I think you'd like to go to this. And so he is so proud of this story. It's funny. So she looks at it, and they call me on the phone and said, hey, we'd like to come to this weight loss class. They like the titles of what I'd put down and whatever. Long story short, they come, meet them. She's a Mormon. He's Catholic background. And so I said, well, you know, you have some health issues. I actually have a health class. You would really benefit from the health class, even though weight loss would help too. And I said, why don't you just come as a guest one night to the health class on a different night, different location? So he comes to the health class and he says, can I join both? Can I go to both? And I'm like, sure. And then I said, oh, and by the way, we have a Friday night support group. You guys want to come there? Yeah. So now they're meeting up with me 3 nights a week. And then as our relationship develops, he says, you know, and he just shared this not long ago, I'm from the state that's touchy-feely. We need to touch it, feel it. And I have faith issues, Darla. And I said, really? I know someone and God loves those kind of people. And on the phone, you could hear him going, huh? I said, Thomas was like that. Thomas says, unless I put my finger, unless I do this, I'm not going to believe. I said, God loves those kind, Chuck. And he says, well, I even told my wife, I want Angel Moroni to come visit me before I'm going to believe, da 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 da. And he says, and then God sent me Doug and Darla. Oh, I have watched Jesus transform and work in this man's life. And he, not too long ago, I asked them to each on Friday night, walk with Jesus this week. and tell me if you will walk differently than last week. Imagine walking with Jesus every day, inviting him to walk with you in what you do. And that Friday night, we had some new visitors, and I said, hey, Chuck, share your story, because he went from 90 units to no insulin in 2 months. And he's pretty happy, and his doctor's happy. And normally when he tells the story, he uses such bad language. And here I'm going, hey, Chuck, you want to share your story tonight? And all the women are going, ew, he's going to go, you know. And but remember, I'd asked him to walk with Jesus that week. And he shared his story with no vulgar language and everyone's eyeballs, because they know Chuck. And they're just like, wow. I mean, in 1 week, the change in how what he chose was beautiful. And then his wife said to me, he's coming to church. The missionaries are coming or whatever. And then she has things, and God brings people in my life who are so wounded and hurt. And you know what? We're all wounded and hurt. And so it's like, you know, that compelling love, Susan, that we were given. I said to you, you know, it starts with love. It's not doctrine. You have to understand, you are so loved by Jesus. Can I do this Bible study with you, the Mormon lady and her children? Because they are so hurt. I said, I want your children to know they are so loved. So I start doing the Bible study. They invite other young people to come here about how valuable they are and how loved they are. And so that's happening in my life. And then God says, okay, you said 100. Well, you can't stay here. You need to be doing stuff. So my husband's job all of a sudden takes us to New Jersey. I arrive in New Jersey and I look at the city and how fast. And I said, don't you dare ask me to live here, because the answer is no. I'm going for a walk every day and I'm looking at downtown New York. 10 miles, and you can see it from there. And I start saying, Lord, there's so many souls that need you. We can't do it. We can't finish the work. We need the Holy Spirit. There's just so few of us. God, I feel like, how? How can we? The overwhelmingness. And then in the hotel, I meet a Muslim lady. And boy, are you watched without knowing you're watched. I come down and I go to breakfast every morning, and all I take is fresh blueberries and a few fruit, and I sneak up back to my room and put it with my cooked food. And she said to me one day, I noticed you always walk that way. And she said, safe to walk that way? And I thought, well, I walk that way, and that scared me to death. So I'm walking this way. And I said to her, would you like to walk with me one day? And so the Lord has built this relationship with a Muslim woman there. Then we visited some other churches. We went to Upper State New York, walked into an Adventist church there. We were in jeans and our hair was all messed up, and I thought I would just sneak into the bathroom and get presentable, because we'd been camping and there was only a porta potty, you know, and it was pouring down rain. So we had everything, and I sneaked to the downstairs of this church. We thought, find a church that's at least dry. And they said, oh, the bathroom don't work down here. You have to go upstairs. And they're having Sabbath school right there by where you come up. And I'm just going, okay. And I look terrible. Your husband's not shaved and his hair is worse than mine. And so I go in and I try to freshen up. And they said, well, what do you like to do? Are you a Christian? You know, what do you? I said, I love to tell stories. Hey, would you like to tell a story at church today? And so they embraced us. And I happen to have one of the little love letters of Jesus. And actually a little pack of them. So I gave them some love letters of Jesus. They were so thrilled that they ordered 1,000 to share. And I only asked for 100, right? But they ordered 1,000 to share with some people up in Upper State New York. So when we open ourselves up and we ask God, God, I'm no one special. I have no degrees, but I want to bring souls to you. On a walk, and this just happened, and I was actually on my cell phone talking to another lady. And this van pulls up and she said, excuse me, do you know where the Amish healer lives? I say, oh yeah, I do. See that building right there? And she looks at me and she says, so what do you think? And I said, I don't know if you want to know what I think. I said, you know, everyone has their own belief system. But I'll tell you what I know. I know the real healer, the one that can heal all things, the one who can raise dead. And I started cheering her. And do you know that she had her car running and stood there in the road for 40 minutes and didn't move? And I sit there sharing with them about being anointed and prayed for and God and this and that. And finally, I said to them, are you guys Christians? She says, I have Catholic background. Her boyfriend says, well, I am. And I didn't ever even heard of what he said. And I says, would you mind if I prayed for you? So she shut her car off. But before I prayed, and when I asked her, they had been driving for 5 hours. And I was going to walk an hour earlier, but I got delayed because I started working. And I'm a workaholic. And once I work, I have a hard time stopping. But I stopped and went for my walk. And if I had gone earlier, we would never met. But God knew there was an appointment. I didn't even know. And here I'm walking, and then 45 minutes later, talking with her, then praying with her, I gave her my phone number and email address, and she says, I have this thing for healers. You know, and I said, do you have health issues? So she shared some of that, and I said, can I pray with you? And I thought, Lord, we just have to be willing. And then it's not comfortable. I mean, this is not my hobby to talk to people and can I pray with you? But I felt God was calling for that moment of, would you do this? And so I'm like, the lady on the phone didn't hang up because she wanted to hear all this. And she said after hanging on for it, that was a divine appointment, Darla. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Every morning in bed as I lay there, as I first wake up, I've made it a habit for the last months of asking the Lord to baptize me with His Spirit for ministry. That ministry comes in the form of phone calls, meeting people in a grocery store, on the road. I mean, I don't know. I'm just telling the Lord, it's your Spirit who's going to orchestrate what happens in my life. But I'm letting you know I'm willing. I'm willing, Lord, if you are. And so what you believe, so how that's affected my life, I believe, like I was saying in the beginning, God has good plans and He wants to use you. And I've even made bargains with the Lord. My kids really thought that was, Mom, it's God. You don't make bargains with God. I said, I do. Can't help it if you don't. I talk to God like He's my friend. Hey, friend, you do this, I'll do that. You know, I mean, I do that. And I said to God, you know, Lord, I struggle with stuff. I struggle with insecurities. I struggle with things feeling like, well, I don't have this, and who am I? And the Lord taps me, and He says, excuse me? You don't have to have anything like that to do what I want you to do. You just have to be willing. I mean, some of us will give excuses. Well, I don't have a degree, or I don't have this, and I don't have that. And then I realize that not having a degree has freed me to do things that a person with a degree would probably get in trouble for doing. They get sued because they're a doctor or whatever, and I can be more free at that. But anyway, one of the things I was talking with Dad about and has been on my mind for a while is the thought about Jesus saying, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Do you know what kind of branches God loves? Fruit-bearing branches? But He also says, so I went to Dad's vineyard this morning. I said, Dad, I want some of your vines. Some of these were so twisted and turned and hanging on to everything that I had to sit there and go to take it off if I wanted to keep it. I thought, you love this one? I thought it had character. It looks pretty dead. And then there's this nice dead one. And then there was one that I said, Dad, let's cut one that has grapes. There's a fruit-bearing vine, some fruit growing on it. Make sure it hangs on there. So this one, no streamers on this one. Dad had already trimmed or something. And so there's all these things. And I'm thinking about, Jesus said, He'll take, and I looked this up this morning just because it's something I have done since my kids were little, and I still do it, and I love doing it. I love looking in the dictionary. Have you ever looked up the word dead? Why would anyone look up dead? It says, a soul dead in trespasses and sin receives life through connection with Jesus. Okay, dead is dead, right? You know, I mean, there's no life in this thing. But Jesus will take something dead And so I looked up dead, and it's like no longer living, without feeling, having lost its resiliency, not fertile, unproductive. I like this one. Very tired and exhausted. Are you ever dead tired? You know, I'm done. I'm dead. We say that. Jesus takes people who are exhausted, dead, tired, and he says, connect with me, and I'm going to let the living power of the Holy Spirit start pouring through you. So I said, Dad, when you graft something, how long does it take for it to bear fruit? And Dad said, well, in my trees, sometimes it's a couple years. So I thought, well, you know, you can't always see that there's something happening in this dead branch, right? We look and we're like, oh man, are you guys ever going to get it together? Because you're still dead. And then I looked up the words, a soul dead in trespasses. And I thought, trespasses, is that a term we use today? Do you hear people talking about trespasses? And it says, going beyond the limits of what's right. I go beyond the limits of how much I should eat. I always go a little over the edge, what's right. And sins, and it says trespasses and sins. And when I looked up the word sin in the dictionary, it said a willful act. Not a mistake that wasn't willful. Sometimes you just, but something that's willful, a willful act. So think of this again, a soul dead in trespasses and sins receives life through connection with Jesus. And Jesus shared this with the disciples right before Gethsemane. You know, they were walking by the vine. And then he said, there are some in the church that are dead, right? There's some of us that are dead from things that's happened in our life. And another person God brought into my life that wants to meet Jesus is coming on the mission trip. A doctor, professor, not a medical doctor. But the things that happened in her life killed her, certain parts of her, and she has no feelings in certain areas. And I said to her, you know what? I know someone who resurrects the dead. Doesn't matter if you've been dead for 50 years. It doesn't matter to God. He will connect. You connect with him. So I told her, when you wake up in the morning, tell Jesus every morning, I choose you, even if I can't feel you. And she's one who's so sincere. She said, Darla, it's like she's used to school. What's the formula? Do this, I get this result. So she's like, okay, I said I choose Jesus. I did this. How come I don't feel anything? How come nothing's happening? And I just am cracking up. And I said, God's not like that. He's not a checkoff list that you do this, this, and then he does this. I said, God loves people to be really honest. He already knows, but he likes you to say, God, I'm dead. I've had things happen in my life that's killed me. I'm dead. I don't even know how to connect to you. That's how dead I am. But I believe, because I've seen what's happened in others' lives, I've seen the Bible stories, I believe that if I connect my deadness to you, you will give me life. How fast? And I said, you know, the thing I think that's merciful of God, can you imagine this? Dead, okay? Dead in your habits, your everything, and God goes, and you became this instantly, it would be like shock. It would be too much. But Jesus is tender. And I told Mom, I says, I picture this one. He knocks at the heart of your door and you're dead, okay? Everything in your house is dead. You got porno stuff and whatever. You're dead. You got junk in there. And you said, God, no, thank you. You shut the door and you, no, I don't want you. But then one day you go, sure, come in. There's dust everywhere. I haven't cleaned in a month because I'm stressed and I'm going through this. And Jesus comes in and he just sits and he just, I told my sister, it's like you and me in the pool, sis. He just says, I want to hang out with you. He's not saying, you need to change your channel. You need it. No, he just says, I want to hang out with you. I want to be with you. And then he comes back each day and he says, I just want to be with you. And pretty soon you start going, he loves me. He's not criticizing me. He's not condemning me. He loves me. And pretty soon you say, God, would you help me with this in my life? And he's like, I thought you'd never ask. He says, if you connect to me, that's how you overcome. You don't overcome disconnected to Christ. You can't overcome anything. Even Jesus says, I of myself do nothing apart from his Father. And then he says, without me, darling, you can't do anything. And then I'm thinking of those who, and this one hit me as I was reading it, the ones that have all the good foliage but no fruit are some of the Bible thumpers, some of the people who've been in the church their whole life, but they've never really connected where the life flowing changes their life and they become like Jesus. And Jesus said, the Jewish leaders were fruitless branches. That really hit me because it's like, Lord, I want to bear fruit. I don't want to be just a branch. And then the one that really gets you, if you're thinking about it, he says, you want to bear? I got to tell you what, Darla. You want to bear for me? There's some of this stuff, and it really does twingle around all over the ground. He says, you need to be pruned. And it even says this, pruning hurts. When you cut something, it hurts because this was attached to something. And it's like, God, have I gotten too comfortable with, I'm so excited about Friday nights and everything's growing and wonderful. And now you're saying, no, darling, you're starting to take glory that's mine. I'm going to have to trim you. Or maybe you're becoming too proud, or maybe you're becoming too independent, and maybe you've become too glorified in your position or whatever. And God says, I don't do this in meanness. I do this because I love you and I want you to bear beautiful fruit. And when I went yesterday by the winery with my sister, man, they trim their stuff right up. And I asked Dad, how much does this grow in a year? He said, some of them can grow 20 feet in a year. And I says, man, God has to really do this sometimes because we have this tendency to just get in all kinds of things. And the Lord says, what you're doing is separating you from me. And it's been a few years ago, God asked me to give up some hobbies. They weren't bad. But he said, this hobby here is taking time that I need. Let it go. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll let it go. And he says, going to the YMCA, that needs to go. Exercise is important, but you can walk around your home. You have a half-hour drive. The atmosphere is not where I want you right now. It needs to go. Let your membership go. Okay, Lord. Darla, I don't want you to do the depression class. This one just happened. I bellyached. I was upset. I wanted to do it. He said, no, let someone else in the church do it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, but you know I wanted to do it. No. And then I'm watching him say, I don't know. You got to understand, Darla, I have plans for you. He's saying this to you guys. I have plans for you. But that plan involves pruning. And it can be with our children. Some of us are too involved in our children's life and not doing what we should be doing. And Jesus says, if you allow me to prune, you'll start bearing beautiful, beautiful, rich fruit. And I ask myself, am I willing to go under the knife voluntarily saying, prune me? Just not too fast. I know me, I'm going to handle it. Then it's like, no, Lord, I want to bear fruit for Jesus. And until we start bearing fruit, what's the world going to see? Just nice greenery. One of the elders of our church preached this and I wanted to cry. He said, my mom knows her Bible like nobody. I mean, if anyone comes to the door, she can thump you and tell you where to find it and the whole thing. But my three brothers won't attend church because they said, knowing her Bible never made her more loving and kind and compassionate. And I weep. Oh, Jesus, we need pruned if we're not bearing fruit. If we're not more loving and more kind and more like Jesus, why would anyone want to come dwell with you? I mean, why would you? You'll tear me down. You'll rip me up. And so all I know in my heart is that Jesus, think about this. He wants you to expect great things from him. He wants you to take his word, claim the promises. Do you believe it? That's why the title, what do you believe? Do you believe it? then we ought to act on what we believe. Pray prayers, ask God for great things, but the greatest thing is for Him to come and stay connected to the vine. Say, Father, prune me. Father, do what it takes, but don't let me be separated from you and burned one day because I refused. I refused the pruning. I refused what you wanted to do in my life. But say, Lord, thank you that you love me enough that you'll prune me. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you that you're so merciful and kind, that you want us to bear fruit, that you're willing for us to be cut from anything that would distract us from you. And it doesn't always feel good, and it hurts, and we cry. But Lord, help our unbelief. Help us to believe that you have something for us to do at every stage of our life, till the last breath we breathe, that there's something we can do to bring glory to your name. I ask that you prepare the soils of the hearts of the Indians in Pine Ridge and of the doctor who's coming with me who wants to meet Jesus. And Lord, help her to meet you in everything she sees done, and that she might know that you can be trusted to bring healing in every area of life. Lord, I ask that you would do that in our lives, bring healing, that we would bring glory to you and that we would shine. Oh, come in. Fill us with your Spirit that we would shine, that it would radiate from our faces that love we have for you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.